everybody, and welcome to From the Mezzanine. I'm your host, Lindsay Stone, and let's get into this week's episode. How is everybody doing? I am doing quite great because I've had a relaxing weekend thus far, and as of today, it's about to pick up, and I am super excited to go to NY Forever's Broadway concert. It's happening in the Bronx today, and in attendance, let me just say one name, and you will know all of the reasons that I am going all the way to the Bronx. I mean, the Bronx is cool. I like going there for Yankees games, but it's a ways out considering I am in Brooklyn. So the one name you need to know. And then my decision was made for me. This is my plan this weekend, is Leslie Odom Jr. Thank you and good night. I am seeing Leslie Odom Jr. today. I am so beyond excited. I don't know how I will be. Probably won't cry. I feel like I've become a tad desensitized to seeing my idols, and I'm going to get into that in just a little bit when I tell y'all who I saw this week, who I ran into, but I don't mean desensitized in a way of it's not as amazing and cool, but desensitized as it changes your frame of mind as to, like, why haven't I seen Leslie yet? Like, I've seen so many people. I feel like I should have seen Leslie by now. You know, I've seen Renee. I haven't seen Philippa. I've seen Lynn. Like, while I am, like, beyond excited, I do feel like my reactions are kind of a little more contained rather than, like, when I was living in Texas and seeing a celebrity was so not normal. Never even happened. I don't think I ever even ran into a celebrity in Texas, just like by happenstance. So it's pretty normal here, which is crazy to say. But yeah, I'm going to see Leslie today at this New York concert. It's completely free. I believe that their mission is just to make Broadway more accessible. There are so many free concerts, Broadway events that happen in Times Square and in and around Midtown. So they're trying to push the boundaries, and they did one in Washington Heights, and now they're going out to the Bronx. So I'm really, really excited. Also in attendance is Shoshana Bean. Here Lies Love is performing. Shucked is performing. The main guy from Shucked is going to be there. I feel like there's one person I'm forgetting that's, like, really huge. But we'll talk about it next week whenever I can recap it with you guys. But this week, what I did, oh my God, it feels like it was so long ago. I went to the Broadway Jackbox that is hosted by Andrew Barth Feldman and Alex Boniello. And I had no idea what to expect. If you listen to last week's episode, I was like, I think we're playing games. Maybe there will be some singing. I thought it was going to be much more concert-centered. No, it was not. We literally played Kahoot games. But it was so much fun, and it was so worth it because in attendance was Antonio Cipriano. If you know me, you know I love this man. I literally fell in love with him over a year ago when I first listened to the Jagged Little Pill soundtrack, and I was like, this guy is so, like, his voice, just his voice is what I was attracted to. His voice is so beautiful. And then I looked into him, I was like, oh, he's dating Renee Rapp, which at that time she had just been in Mean Girls. But I was watching Sex Life of College Girls on HBO, that's one of my favorite shows of all time. And so I just kind of really dove into their relationship. I was such a stan. And now they are no longer together, obviously, but I still love each of them individually. And so to be able to see Antonio, like, oh my God, guys, he is so much cuter in person. Like, I cannot lie. And while they were playing games, it was really funny. They had a lot of silly props, hats, and they would, like, do silly things. Like, okay, also in attendance was Celia Rose Gooding. And so those are the two, like, not leads, but two main characters from Jagged Little Pill. So I knew, of course, they're going to sing Jagged Little Pill. No, the only person who sang was Andrew Barth Feldman, and he sang, like, a very jazzy piano, waving through a window. It was like, waving through a window. I try to speak, but nobody can hear, so I weed a rover with it to a piece of that. Like, it was fun, but it was not, like, the belt that you want to hear when you're listening to Waving Through a Window. So I was absolutely and 100% let down that they didn't sing. I was like, you have all of this talent on stage, and they're not going to sing to us. So I made a donation because they were taking donations all night. If you made a donation, they would be more tempted to do something. And so I made a donation, and I said, Celia and Antonio, please sing Head Over Feet or Ironic. And it didn't happen. Anyways, after the show, all of the cast came out. So it was Mackenzie Kurtz, who is Glinda in Wicked right now. She was one of the first people that we talked to. I know, crazy, right? I spoke to Glinda. She is so stunning. And I told her, I was like, you are so Glinda-coded. I was telling my friend who I went with, I was like, how does somebody just like come into this world and is immediately Glinda? How does that happen? But she is so Glinda. And she was like so sweet. She was like, oh my God, thank you so much. And then I asked her, I was like, what is it like being in Wicked during the 20th anniversary? And so she told us all about that. And then we asked the question, the big question. We said, are Adina and Kristen going to be at the 20th? And this is like private information, but she said it. So I guess I can say it, but she said that they are. But that's not, no promise. You never know what could happen between now and the 20th anniversary. But she did say that they are supposed to be in attendance. So keep it on the low low. I know I'm like literally speaking to a podcast, but you know, we all kind of figured that they would be there. But she didn't know if they would be at the pink and the green shows, which is what we are planning to go to. So I wanted to make this kind of a news story, but we'll go ahead and talk about it now. Wicked's 20th anniversary is coming up at the end of this month. It's technically on October 30th, but they are going to be doing a pink and a green show on October 29th. And at these shows, they have special merch, special swag. I believe that they have special, like, probably drinks and snacks, and they have the special playbill. It's really just going to be, like, a unique experience of Wicked, and there are going to be Glinda and Elphaba alums in the audience. And so we are planning on going to the green show. And BT Dubs, I've never even seen Wicked in the Gershwin, so this will be so huge if we get the tickets to the green show. They're not sold out yet. As of right now, I don't believe that they are sold out, but that would be just the most incredible experience to be my first time in the Gershwin for the 20th anniversary. And I feel like I wasn't intentionally waiting, but this all makes sense now. Like this is all so awesome. And so anyways, she said that she did not know if Kristen and Adina are going to be at their individual pink and green shows. But, I mean, they have to be, right? Like, it would be so sad if they weren't. They could bring out so many Elphabas, but like, oh my God, can we have the original, please? Like, I really hope that I get to go first and foremost. And then I'm praying that Adina would be at the green show. I'm manifesting it, guys. Manifesting on the podcast worked last time whenever I was saying I wanted a Lin-Manuel bookmark, and then I got it. So I'm manifesting that Adina will be at the green show and that I will get tickets. Okay, moving on. So yes, I told you all that Celia Rose Gooding there, and then Lorna Courtney was there. So the Juliet from Anne Juliet, I was really excited because she was not in the performance of Anne Juliet whenever I went. I had the understudy. So I was like, yay, I'll finally get to hear Lorna sing. Nope, didn't get to hear her sing. But all in all, it was very fun. It was all for charity, and it was like the most absurd night. Like, it was very cabaret style. If you've been to 54 Below, it's kind of similar to that. It was at the Midnight Theater, which was such a nice venue. But anyways, after the show, we spoke to Mackenzie Kurtz, Glinda, and then we were totally just waiting around so awkwardly. Like, my heart was racing, guys. Like, oh my God. And my friend was standing in front of me, and I was standing my back to Antonio, and she was like keeping an eye on like when he was going to like have a free moment for us to grab him and like speak to him. And so yeah, I had my back to him, and then all of a sudden she was like, okay, go now. And I turned around and I'm like, hi, I'm Lindsay. I have been obsessed with you since Jagged Little Pill. You're the reason that I'm here today. And he was so sweet. His eyes just was so sincere, and he gave me two hugs, guys. He gave me two hugs. Like, he was honestly so kind. I asked him, like, what's next for him? What's going on, like, in his life? Is he coming back to Broadway? And he said he's doing a lot of TV. Of course, I'm sure there's going to be, like, more seasons of National Treasure, probably. And I feel like that's what he was kind of insinuating when he was saying he's going to do some more TV, but that he's trying to come back to Broadway, and he's doing some readings and things. And I was like, whatever you're in, like, I am there. I'm such a big supporter of yours. Like, you're incredible. And he was honestly so kind. He asked me my name. And honestly, like, it couldn't have gone better. There are so many people. I feel like the Broadway celebrities who are super huge, they're very kind, but they've heard it all before. Like, these folks, they're relatively new on the scene, and so they haven't. And they're, like, he was shook when I said I came here and I bought the ticket to come and see you. Like, he was like, whoa. Like, he didn't expect that, which is so crazy to me. But they, like, while we adore them, they're not quite as used to the celebrity and to the fans as, like, Aaron or Jeremy Jordan are. Like, they get it. They've been through it. And so it's just really cool to, like, give somebody that and, like, let them know that they are so appreciated and to us that they mean so much. So anyways, that was so, so cool. And then after that, we spoke to one of the Kimberly Akimbo guys was in the audience, actually. So we spoke to him for a really long time. He was so cool. And we spoke to Andrew Barth Feldman, who was so funny. I was not familiar with him beforehand, but he really, like, led the show, and he was hilarious. And so I asked him something silly. I was like, where did you get all of your comedic energy from? And he was like, well, it all started when I played LeFou in Beauty and the Beast. And so then I started singing, no one's quick as Gaston, no one's sick as Gaston. And he didn't really vibe with it, I can't lie. He was just like, yeah. I was like, oh, okay. But he had a lot going on that night. I don't blame him for it. But he was nice. He was nice. Don't get me wrong. So anyways, that's Broadway Jackbox. It was so much fun. I don't know if this is an annual thing. Like, I have no idea if it will ever happen again. But they did raise a lot of money. And so I hope that they will. But next time, please, for the love of God, if you have all of these Broadway celebrities, let them sing. Let the people sing. Moving on, guys, I have got to tell y'all something that is just quite literally insane. So I was leaving my work building on Wednesday. And Wednesday is the day when you're going to see everybody. If you want to see Broadway celebrities, go on a Wednesday because they have matinees and they have the evening performance. And so that is your best probability of seeing Broadway celebrities on the street. And I see so many people. I should write them all down. I see so many people and I just see them as passing by. This week, this isn't the big person that I saw, but I saw Julie Banko just walking around. And I would say 50th to like 47th Street. Like, that's where I've seen everybody. Anyways, I was walking out of my work building and I was talking to a coworker, and who walks past me? None other than Stephen Schwartz, people. I see him, he has sunglasses on, but like, he is such a distinct person. I recognized him 100%. I knew it was him. I said to the person I was with, I was like, do you know what Wicked is? Like, I don't even know what we were talking about. I completely like changed subject. I was like, do you know what Wicked is? They were like, no. Oh, yeah, yeah. And I was like, well, the guy who just walked past us, that's the creator of it. He wrote all of the music. And he was like, oh my gosh, I said, I'm gonna go talk to him. And so I like turned around, tried to catch up with Stephen Schwartz, and he was walking through this courtyard. And I like was like, excuse me, excuse me. It was funny because as he was walking, the son like hit the mom's arm and was like trying to get her attention. And the mom yanked off her glasses and looked at Stephen Schwartz like they recognized him too. And they were so surprised. And I was like, excuse me. And he was like, yes. And I was like, are you Stephen Schwartz? And he was like, yes, I am. And I was like, I didn't even think about what I wanted to say first, guys. If you are like wanting to meet somebody on the streets who is your idol, who you look up to, think of what you're going to say when you see them, because inevitably if you spend enough time in New York, you will. So I should start like making a list of all the people who I could possibly run into and what I want to say to them. Because after he said, yes, I'm Stephen Schwartz, I was like, don't know what I even like, I can't even begin to express like my love for Wicked. But I said, I just wanted to let you know that I have been obsessed with Wicked since I was 8 years old. I'm 25 now. And he goes, that's a long time. And I was like, yeah, I just wanted to stop you and say thank you. And that I love what you've done so much. And just, I think I said, I just wanted to thank you for it, which honestly, like I got out everything that I needed to say, thank God. And he touched my arm and he said, thank you so much for stopping me. He was genuinely so kind. Like, oh my God, like that couldn't have gone better. He was so genuine. He was so sincere. He was so honest. Like, oh, it was so sweet. So, so sweet. And so I was just like, okay, thank you so much. Have a good night. And that's where that ended. But then I was freaking out. I was like, I just spoke to Stephen Schwartz, the creator of my number one, oh my God, I'm like getting emotional, but like then my number one favorite musical. It's so insane. Like, oh, that is why I moved to New York. That is why. To have opportunities like that, and like you never know what's gonna happen, and that's my favorite thing. There are so many incredible events where you get to fulfill your dreams. You get to meet the people who you look up to. Like even with something as silly as Broadway Jackbox, like after that we were on such a high because I was like, I spoke to Glinda, I met Antonio. Like, this is why I moved to New York, to be able and have the ability and the opportunity to do things like this and meet people like this. It was genuinely so, So incredible. So that was just a moment that I won't ever forget. And there's just like nowhere else that these things can just happen all the time, you know? Okay, that wraps all of the recap that I had to catch up with you guys on. Like, wow. Okay, Lindsay, stop being emotional about Stephen Schwartz. Moving on to our Broadway grosses. This is for the week ending on October 8th. At the top of the ranks, by a lot, we have The Lion King with $2.3 million. Okay, guys, we have some shakeup. What happened? Whoa. Okay, shook. Wicked is number two with 1.9. So between Lion King and Wicked, there's a pretty big difference. Third is Hamilton. Have y'all figured out what's missing yet? As opposed to last week? Kind of crazy. MJ is number four. Sweeney Todd is five. Aladdin is six. Harry Potter is seven. Moulin Rouge is eight. Back to the Future is nine. And Merrily We Roll Along is 10. What happened? Last week, they were third, if I'm not mistaken. Third or fourth. And now they are 10th. That is a magnificent difference. They had 100% capacity. None of the previous shows that I mentioned had 100% capacity. But this is the only one that has 100%. And they had 1.2 million. They are still in previews, guys. So I definitely, as of this Broadway grosses, they were still in previews. Next week, we will see their opening night previews. And I am certain that they will move all the way back up. But I am very surprised of the jumps and the differences that this has been making. It's a very big difference to go from the top to, I mean, they're still at a great place. 10th is amazing. Like, don't get me wrong. That's an excellent place to be at. But it does make me question the stability of the show. And as of last week, I would have told you, yep, it's going to be at the top for the rest of their run. But now I'm like, okay, maybe not. Things need to be consistent. Things like Sweeney Todd, which are newcomers, it is very consistent aside from when Josh Groban is out. So that's really interesting to note. I was not expecting that this week. And we will stay tuned for next week when we get the grosses for their opening night, for Merrily's opening night. I look forward to that because I think it's going to bounce all the way back up. With that, folks, let's head into our first news story of the week. We are going to start off with some good news, okay? Let's do that before we get into the bad news, the impending bad news of the week that you may or may not be aware of. If you follow me on Instagram, you are likely aware of it. But let's turn a blind eye just for a little while longer. Didn't want to start the podcast off on a sour note. So our first news story is that Gutenberg the musical had their opening night. Yay! Congratulations to the cast of two, Andrew Rannells and Josh Gad. Congratulations on your opening. And in attendance was probably like in my most feverish dreams of who I would want to see at a Broadway opening. They were at this one. So we had Jimmy Fallon for one. Love that. John Mulaney, Jane Krakowski, Nathan Lane, who also, if you're not aware, there's a little bit of a cameo at the end of Gutenberg. And this was played by Nathan Lane at this performance, which is just awesome. And so right now it's like, okay, these are mainly like comedian types. No, Anna Wintour was there, which is always very interesting to me. Like, was she giggling? Like, was she having a good time and letting her hair down? I don't think so. She probably like keeps her sunglasses on while she's watching the show. I would love like some, I'm not saying to do this, but I still would love some like discreet video of her just like cackling at Gutenberg, at the obsceneness and like silliness of Gutenberg. Like, I just don't see it. I don't see it. But so I feel like this was an interesting choice for her to attend. We also had Carrie Butler, Busy Phillips, Aaron Paul and Bryan Cranston was there. And I heard them talk on the red carpet that Aaron Paul has really been trying to get Bryan Cranston to go to Broadway with him. He wants to do something on Broadway with them as a pair, which who knows, maybe they'll be the next Gutenberg, Doug and Bud. You never know. Anyway, so there was definitely a lot of stardom in attendance. And the reviews are out with opening night. Then come the critic reviews. So let's just see what they're saying. Not that we're going to put a ton of weight on this, because honestly, you guys should just take my word for it that this is a hilarious show and you're going to have a great time. However, you know, we are a Broadway podcast, so we have to stick to the facts out here. So first off, we have Jesse Green's review from the New York Times. Everybody kind of gave the same gist, and he did as well. He praised, like, the punchy, ongoing jokes, you know, that they were very funny, quick-witted. But then he suggests that it is, quite honestly, too long for a proper Broadway show. This would be better in, say, a 45-minute cabaret. However, he does note that, like, the tropes are expertly delivered and that Andrew and Josh couldn't be better suited for this show. And so, honestly, it wasn't, like, a rave review. I would probably say it was lukewarm. It wasn't saying, like, this is an essential show for Broadway right now. You have to run to go see it. It was more of, they're great performers. It's funny. But it's too long. There's always a but, you know. And then the New York Post article definitely celebrates Andrew Rannells and Josh Gad reuniting once again. But it is very quick to note that this show is on the weird side, which, yeah, it definitely is. But if weird off-the-cuff comedy is your type, like, this is for you. If you can literally turn a switch and turn your brain off and just have fun and not overthink anything about it, you're gonna like Gutenberg, period. But anyways, to quote the article for the New York Post, he says, quote, "The real show, Gutenberg the Musical, is far from heinous, but it's not a 100% laugh riot either. It is an awfully rich dish. Once you get the gist, you've had enough," quote. I could not disagree more. Like I said, turn that switch off on your brain. It is so relaxing. It is so nice just to be mindless with Andrew Rannells and Josh Gad for a little while and have so much fun. But I don't know. I just disagree. When I was reading these articles and they were talking about the show, because they always, like, give their critical review of the show, what they like, what they didn't, and then they also kind of summarize the plot, which I don't like to do on here because I do not want to spoil anything. So if you want to go and read about the plot, I will have all of these articles linked in the show notes below so you can get a closer look at what people are saying and also what the show is about. But anyways, as I was reading them speak about the plot, I was laughing out loud because it's so funny. It is so, so offbeat. It is so, like, oh my God, it's so funny. And I cannot wait to go and see the show again. I'm seeing it probably when my sister comes to visit, and that's at the end of the month. So I cannot wait. Okay. Yes, those reviews were definitely both lukewarm. They all had a circle back moment of, yeah, it's a laugh, but it's also too long or something like that. But there were some that absolutely adored it and were just rave. The Washington Post gave a really good review. They loved the show. They called Josh and Andrew Rannells Broadway's cutest couple, which is undoubtedly true, without a doubt. But yeah, all in all, this show is a limited run for a reason. They are not begging you to become obsessed with it and feel the need to come back and come back and come back. But they are providing you in an incredible show with a lot of fun, with two stars who everybody is obsessed with and everybody wants to see. And so, yeah, it makes sense that it is getting these reviews. They're not saying, you know, this is the show Broadway needs right now, but it's a limited run for a reason, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. It is one of the funniest shows on planet Earth, and it is insanely good. And to be able to see Andrew Rannells and Josh Gad together, you cannot put a price on that. Okay, so we've put it off long enough. It's time to get into our new story number two, and I don't even want to. We got word this week that Schecter is closing. Okay, that's enough. That's enough for news story number two. Moving on to news story number three. No, I'm just kidding. I just don't want to talk about it. But there is light at the end of the tunnel, so I will get to that in a moment. Yes, Schecter is closing. Guys, you know I'm sad about this. You know I love this show. I have been such an advocate for it. I absolutely adore it. It is so funny. It is so clever. I love Gray Henson. Honestly, he's the show to me. If I went to go and see it and he wasn't in it, I would be very let down. And that is an issue with shows. Like, Moulin Rouge definitely struggles with this as well. When there is an essential cast member and they're not in it, the show struggles. And obviously to others, I don't think Gray is like the superstar. It's more so probably Alex Newell, and Alex Newell is incredible as well. Like, the show would definitely suffer without them. However, Gray Henson is like my little shining star. And so anyways, circling back, because I just have a lot of thoughts about this. Y'all know. I love this show. I adore it. And so it was announced that it is going to be leaving Broadway, and at its time of leaving, it will have played 28 previews and 327 regular performances. It was estimated to have cost $16 million when it was mounted on Broadway, and it has not yet recouped its investment. So if it does not return to Broadway after its closing, it will be a FLOP. I can't even say it. A flop. I'm not okay. So they've announced that the closing date is January 14th, 2024, and they have definitely secured a national tour. This isn't one of those situations, i.e. Some Like It Hot, where they say, yeah, we're going on a national tour, come to the West End, we're coming everywhere, like, don't worry, we've got more in store. No, they're actually going on tour. I believe the tickets are already on sale, and got it, guys. Like, I just keep losing my train of thought because I'm so I can't believe I'm reporting on this. I'm so sad. Anyways, tickets are already on sale, so tour is definitely happening. Get your tickets. Seriously, guys. I don't know that this will do incredibly on tour, I have to be honest, because it's not an identifiable show. It is called Shucked, after all. But I think people who do go buy the tickets to go see the show are thoroughly going to enjoy it. I think it will do good on tour as far as, like, audience pleasure. I don't know how to put that. But I wonder if it's going to sell as many tickets as, say, you know, the recognizable shows. Hairspray, Les Mis, the ones that everybody knows and wants to go and see. I hope that Shucked does well, though. I am standing Shucked. If you're listening to this and it's coming to a town near you, go see it. It's so good. It's so funny. But this is very interesting. I have some inside info that I didn't see in many places, but the New York Times posted their article breaking down their closing and what's really going on behind the scenes. And we found out that the producers do not think that this is the end for Shucked. They want to put it in another theater. So the way that the whole theater producer relationship works is the producers are renting out a theater to put their show in. The theaters also get a say in what comes to their show. They want something that is going to give them the most profit because the theater gets a portion of the box office sales. So the Netherlanders are basically saying, nope, your time is up, Shucked. We're going to replace you because we think that we can bring in a new show that is going to make us more money. However, if the producers find another available theater, they can put Shucked in there if the owner of that theater selects them. I hope that that made sense, but the producers are not done with this show. They're going to try and put it in another theater, which happens. I believe Legally Blonde moved theaters. A couple of shows have moved theaters. Of course, Beetlejuice moved theaters, but that was, you know, COVID time, so it didn't work out quite the same, but it is the same gist. So hopefully this isn't the end for Shucked. They have put so much into this show in terms of marketing. When I am on any article online, every single ad is Shucked. When I'm scrolling on Instagram, every ad is Shucked. In Times Square, it's everywhere. And so I think that it has a life still. I don't think that it's dead. Let Shucked live. Please, please. I don't think that its time is over. But if it is, let's talk about its beautiful time on Broadway. So Shucked was nominated for 9 Tonys. It took home Best Supporting Actor. Alex Newell took that one home, making them the first out non-binary actor to win a Tony Award. Like, I can't even put it into words. It's a magnificent, humongous moment for everybody, and that was certainly deserved. Alex Newell is incredible in this show. God, their song is insane. I'm independently owned. That is huge for them. They took home only 1 Tony, but however, you know, there was a lot of, like, spread at the Tonys. There wasn't one distinct sweep. It was kind of spread evenly across the board. Another huge accomplishment is the fact that majority of the original Broadway cast still remains in this show, which is such a testament to their appreciation and love for the show. Also, I feel as though it is a testament to the way that they are treated, because nobody's going to stay on a show that they don't like and where they're not treated well. And so the fact that they still have their original cast after over 300 performances is huge. And that's also a huge appeal to the audiences. We want to see the OBC. We want to see the people that we've seen perform on all of the TV shows and on the Tonys. And so if you go and see the show other than Maisie, you're going to see the original cast. Okay, so yes, we already talked about the North American tour that is launching in the fall. They are also planning to go to the West End in 2025. That is on the books. I wonder if that's going to be successful. I don't know, because it is truly an American show. However, you know, I don't know, maybe they'll get it. Things that don't do well over there. So we'll see. And then also, apparently, Australia is reported to get their own version of Shucked in spring 2026. So that's a ways off. That kind of may be grasping at straws here. But we'll see. We'll see. Time will tell, guys. I hope that Shucked is very much so alive. I couldn't even, like, guys, I've never been genuinely sad when I've seen a show is closing like I was when I saw that Shucked was closing. I was on FaceTime with my friends. We were having a good time. And then I saw the news. Honestly, I like had to get off. Like, I was so sad, which I know sounds so silly, but I just love the show. It has so much heart. It has so much life. Do not kill it, Broadway. Don't let it go away. Let Shucked live. Okay, I've got to get off that because I'm just going to be so sad for the rest of the day. So I had kind of like a two-parter for our last news story for this week, but I kind of already touched on one. I was going to either speak on Wicked's 20th anniversary or the fact that Pearly Victorious is extending their run. I already touched on Wicked, so let's head into talking about Pearly Victorious's extension. So if you're familiar with the show, it stars Leslie Odom Jr., the King of the World, and it is doing relatively well on Broadway, of course. That is why they are extending. It is now running at the Music Box Theater, and it was originally supposed to close on February 4th, but now it will be playing until January 7th. I have not seen the show yet. It is on my list. I cannot wait to see it. And I will definitely speak with you guys about it once I do so. This is exciting. You don't see a lot of extensions, much less for plays. And so I really love the fact that it is having this opportunity to stay on Broadway for a little bit longer. Makes me very happy, especially for the subject matter of this show. I'm sure that many people need to see it. It follows white supremacy and racism. And so the fact that this is extending just is obviously very good for Broadway. And it's a story that I'm certain needs to be told, but I haven't seen it myself, so I will definitely go and see it now that it's extended. I'll have an even larger opportunity to go and do so. So yeah, I'm happy for them. I'm happy for the cast, and I'm happy for this show. You don't see this often. Usually plays, especially Black plays where they feature diversity, get cut short. And so this is huge. This is really a big story. And it can't be understated how unusual that this is and how incredible it is. So that's awesome. Very happy for Pearly to get this extension. It's incredible for the show, incredible for the cast, and it cannot be understated how much of an accomplishment this is. That rounds out our Broadway news for this week. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this show, please leave me a 5-star review wherever you're listening today. Guys, it makes such a difference. Just in this week alone, our rank on the charts has been so high because y'all have been leaving reviews. It takes literally no time at all. So please, if you enjoyed it, please leave me a quick review. Thank you in advance. And then while you're at it, just go ahead and share it with a musical theater loving friend. You know, it's so easy. Just hit that share button, baby. Please follow me on all my social links. You can find my media down below. I'm on Instagram and TikTok. You can also find me by simply typing in From the Mezzanine. Thank you guys again so much for listening, and I will see y'all next Tuesday. Bye.